We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always. And tonight's show is presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. Joining me is my good friend, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, man. Although, maybe I'm a bit nervous after watching the reaction to Daniel Popper's mock draft.
Yeah, that was certainly an interesting reaction there. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. It is draft week. We have made it. Although the dumb rumors are still swirling. Actually, not even rumors. The dumb idiots on Twitter are still talking about Justin Herbert trades. It's just ridiculous at this point in time. But it is what it is. We're 3 days away from finding out the future of the Chargers draft, at least in the first round. And can't wait to talk about it. So as a reminder, Tyler and I are going to be live all 3 days of draft weekend because we're sickos. We know that you guys are sickos that love the draft. So it's going to be a ton of fun. And we are going to have some slideshows. We know you guys love the slideshows. So we have some stuff prepared for instant breakdowns, instant reactions to every single pick that we will be live for. So it should be a ton of fun. The other guys will join us at certain parts of the draft. But for the most part, it's just going to be Tyler and I talking about the draft all weekend long.
Should be a blast. The pick at 5 or 11 or 10, whatever it ends up being. You know, it's probably one of 5 players, but I think by the time we get to the draft, and definitely by the time we get to Friday, I should be about 175 on the board. I'm doing a nasty cram of players to try to get to 175, which I didn't want to do until I got to 162. Then, okay, like 175 isn't that far, so maybe I can get there. So, yeah, it should be really fun. Can't wait to discuss all these players and really just enjoy the week.
Yeah, you've definitely did a lot of homework over the weekend. I was planning on doing that this week, so we finally got our hands on some Christian Haynes film. So hopefully he's going to make the list. But yeah, we put a lot of work into this. FBS Gandhi asking here, how about how long do you put into each prospect? So we don't feel, at least, you know, we've had this same process for our entire time. We don't feel comfortable putting a grade onto a prospect until we have watched at least 3 games of all 22. That is very hard to come by. And some guys you watch, at least like day 3 guys, and you're just like, I'm good with 1 game. I'm not really going to grade this guy. So that kind of happens a lot. But 3 games of all 22 at minimum. The top guys, I'll probably watch 5 or 6 games of all 22, depending on, you know, maybe I want to go back and watch some 2022 stuff. Maybe like we watch 3 and then 3 more we get access to. So you each cut up for a player is at least 20 minutes long. Some of them are like legitimately 45 minutes long. Mm-hmm. So I would say at least an hour and a half for each prospect before we put a grade on them.
Yeah, I say that's about right. I think an hour is the minimum.
Yeah.
Significantly longer if you're watching wide receivers or defensive backs who are on the field the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, offensive line, obviously on the field quite a bit. But Locatis has done a really good job just giving us the end zone view, which sometimes isn't always helpful, but it lets you kind of speed through it faster so you don't have to watch the sideline view, then the end zone view. But yeah, I'd say an hour at minimum. And then with guys like Odunze, Neighbors, you know, you start with three, so you get a good baseline, but then you just build from there. And then watching other prospects, you've kind of watched like eight of their games by the time you've gone through it. So I have a pretty good idea of like every play of like Michigan's defense or LSU's offense,
Washington's offense,
Washington's offense, you know, Alabama's defense, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I think like, you know, for some of the perimeter guys, like I'll watch them and then I'll watch the offensive line or like I'll watch like a linebacker or an edge rusher. And then I'll just like keep on seeing those perimeter guys like making plays. And so then you kind of can keep watching them. So it's a lot of fun. You know, Tom is pointing this out. How many times have we all watched the Michigan defense? So you've watched more of them than I have because you graded McGregor. I have not graded McGregor, but you're talking about both linebackers. You're talking about Chris Jenkins. You're talking about at least one edge rusher. You're talking about Saint Ristil. You're talking about potentially an outside corner if you've watched Josh Wallace.
Josh Wallace.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a safety in this class, but man, you're talking about eight different prospects on Michigan's defense alone, and you're talking about three games of all 22 for each prospect. So
it's
the same thing with like Washington and all three receivers, the offensive tackle, if you're grading quarterbacks, the quarterback, Dylan Johnson, the running back, the other offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. You watch the same prospects a lot. Usually it's like Georgia you watch a ton of, but this year it's definitely Michigan.
Yeah, usually it's Georgia. That one year they had everyone on their defensive line was good or drafted in like the first 50 picks. Like that was a lot. Their front seven was ridiculous. And then Michigan's offense. So you watch, I think they have six guys in this upcoming draft on the offensive line alone.
Yep, because their swing tackle is in the draft. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And he'll probably get drafted. So then there's them. There's Corum. There's McCarthy if you watch him. There's Roman Wilson, AJ Barner. Technically, I've watched some Michigan film for Eric All. So, there's almost like 18. I mean, was it exactly 18 players for Michigan in this class? It's, And as Joseph asked, does this mean you're sold on Minter? Yeah, honestly, the more you watch the defense nine times, you're going to appreciate the defense. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. So it's, I can't tell you how many times I have watched specifically like Washington and Oregon, Michigan and Alabama, those two games in particular, and then also like Texas and Alabama I watched a ton of too. So those three games I've watched probably at least like 10 times on tape at this point.
Yeah, I'm definitely over it. I forget who I haven't circled back to. It takes me a while sometimes to circle back to some of these guys because it's like I really don't want to watch this again.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Ohio State, that's another one I've watched a few times, but we are officially at the end of the process. You know, now we're getting into like the single, you know, one player on that team guy. So it's a lot of fun. You know, we're saying all this, but I love watching tape. You know, I wish that I could watch like more of a diverse group of players. Like I wish it were like spread out a little bit more, but I love watching tape. Every time I watch the Michigan defense, you know, I gain an appreciation for what Jesse Minter has that group doing or had that group doing. You know, every time I watch the Washington offense, I'm just like, man, like schematically, they're just a ton of fun. And if you're a Seahawks fan or know a Seahawks fan, I'm sure they're pretty excited. So that being said, we are here tonight to do our final Chargers mock draft. It is Mock Draft Monday, after all. This is going to be at least slightly predictive. We're going to do our best to do that. Obviously we are not perfect, but you know, sometimes we'll hit on stuff like we hit on Josh Palmer, we hit on Nick Neiman. So it's not going to be 100% correct, but you know, this is what you guys come here for. You come for the deep cuts and we'll do our best to hopefully pick a day 2, day 3 player that the Chargers will pick. And then we're going to start with some discussion on what's happening in front of the Chargers as well. So this is our final mock draft. It's going to be the bulk of the show. tomorrow we are going to be live again, and it's going to be strictly questions. We might have, you know, some like main topic that we'll touch on briefly, depending on if anything comes out. But tomorrow we're going to touch on all the questions that you guys could possibly have. So like Tony Nguyen just dropped a great question.
That's a great question. Yeah,
it is a great question. Who's the one player that when you don't select in a mock, you feel regret? So that's, I don't know if you want to touch on that now, but we can touch on that tomorrow.
Let's
for sure.
Do it. Yeah.
You want to touch on that right now?
We can do it after the mock, I think, but I think that's worth visiting.
Okay. Sounds good. So if you have a great question, save it for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll spend at least an hour on questions. We want to make sure you guys get everything in before we have the draft on Thursday. All right. Let's touch on this mock draft. So the Chargers picking at five. Obviously, there's been a lot of stuff going around about quarterbacks. So we wanted to touch on this because the conversations around the Cardinals and the Chargers are basically identical at this point in time, except for the fact that the Cardinals do have 11 picks in the draft. They have like seven in the top 100. The Chargers don't have that kind of volume yet. So it sounds like the expectation around the league is that quarterbacks are definitely going 1 through 3, which is not necessarily like shocking news. It's kind of felt that way from the beginning. But quarterbacks are going to go 1 through 3 in some kind of order. There's been a weird like movement for JJ McCarthy at number 2 overall specifically, but Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, those guys are kind of thinking that it's going to be Jaden Daniels at number 2. And then the Patriots would either take Drake May or trade to somebody else who would take Drake May. And then that leaves the Cardinals at 4. Debating between taking a wide receiver or trading out, just like the Chargers situation. So Tyler, based off of like the tea leaves and like what your eyes have told you throughout the process of watching these prospects, where are you at with what the Cardinals could potentially do ahead of the Chargers on Thursday night?
I think there's a 98% chance they stick and pick Marvin Harrison Jr. Assuming he's there, technically another team could take him, but if he's there, I don't see why they would move off of him. And the same argument for why the Chargers shouldn't move off of him. But as you mentioned, the Cardinals, they pick again at 27. They pick again at 35. They have 3 third-round picks. Like you said, they have 11 picks in this draft. So it's not like they need to trade back and accumulate picks. And I feel that, I don't know if they're like necessarily in win-now mode, but they kind of are in like prove Kyler Murray is your guy for sure mode.
Yeah.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. is definitely the guy to do that. And you're not going to walk into... You're not going to move away from Marvin Harrison Jr. to take someone at 27 who could be good. And you move off of Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's say a bunch of receivers go. I mean, their wide receiver room is Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Chris Moore. I'm sorry, but that's worse than the Chargers room, in my opinion. It's definitely less investment than the Chargers room. And I think Josh Palmer's better than any of those receivers. Quentin Johnson is at least has the investment over those guys. I don't see any reason why they would move back. I'm sure there could be a really good haul in there too, but again, they pick again at 27. They've set themselves up to do whatever they want in this draft. I think they just take BPA and take Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that dream is basically dead for the Chargers.
Yeah, for the Chargers. I think, you know, people look at that possibility, and I understand. I would love Marvin Harrison Jr. on the Chargers. Hopefully that comes to fruition. If the Cardinals wanted to prioritize like 2025 investment, I guess I could see that being the case that they do trade out. They don't need the picks this year. And then people keep on floating out the possibility of like, oh, they'll trade down to 11 and 23, and then they'll trade back up with the Chargers at 5 to take Marvin Harrison Jr. for picks 11 and 35. That's not enough for the Chargers to move down. Like, you know, Joe Ortiz already said that he's not going to move down for anything less than an above average return. You know, there's no guarantee that the Giants would want to trade down. There's no guarantee that the Titans would want to trade down. So if you trade down to 11, you really run the risk of moving out of any of the wide receivers. So it's all about running through these scenarios, and you just run the risk of moving. Like, if you trade out, Marvin Harrison Jr. goes 5, Malik Nabers goes 6, and then somebody else, and then Rome Odunze goes 7, and then you're SOL. You are stuck taking a defensive player, which they need some defensive help too. But I have a really hard time believing that Arizona trades down all the way to 11 and then just takes a defensive player. Like, I can't see that scenario happening. You know, some Phoenix people are saying that, you know, Austin Forth loves to trade down. He loves the picks. He already has 11 picks. He doesn't need more picks.
Right.
So it's just, I just have a hard time seeing that. The way that it was described today from Adam Schefter is that the Cardinals are not going to make that trade until they're on the clock and have like all the offers, all the information. And that to me is basically like nobody's met our price yet. And I just don't really see that happening yet. So I do kind of tend to think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the pick at number four for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I would agree. Minnesota would have to throw something nasty at them to just, I guess, make them move. But then I don't know. I don't see why they would trade out. I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. for them, and the Chargers have to make a decision after that.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So with that in mind, that is the scenario that we are going to be working off of tonight. Tyler has already preloaded this specific scenario. So Caleb Williams goes number one, Jaden Daniels goes number two, Drake May three to the Patriots, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. at four is how we are going to start. So for the Chargers, I know we've kind of talked about our preference still being that they take one of these wide receivers, Tyler. But if this is the thing that happens on Thursday night, what's kind of your first thought process here as it relates to what the Chargers might do?
For me, it's you take the best player available, as Joe Ortiz has said, and you find ways to trade down elsewhere. I think you can look in the second round, and given the depth of this draft, I believe you can actually get quite a bit out of trading down in the second round. Pick your team and stick and pick the best player here. So I think you still find a way to acquire picks in round two, and you don't move off of Malik Nabers. You don't do it. And I think they've not handcuffed themselves to this situation because it's a deep class, but you move on from Mike Williams, you move on from Keenan Allen. I think you got to stick and pick a wide receiver. And frankly, like, this is the best player available. Malik Nabers is the best player available. I think they would feel pretty much the same way. Whether it's Nabers or Odunze, I think you stick and pick here.
Yeah, I think that would be, unless you're talking about like a legit haul from the Vikings, that could be, you know, depending on the picks exactly, like what you can get from them is what you're debating between. I had this thought today about the Chargers and like what their actions have maybe told us in terms of the type of wide receiver that they might be looking at. So they cut Mike Williams. They still wanted to bring him back. Mm-hmm. And then the receiver that they have hosted on a visit is DJ Chark. And DJ Chark is also an ex receiver. So I'm kind of wondering if the Chargers might be telling us that they would value the true X receivers ahead of the non-X receivers. And so For those who don't know, like, the X receiver is generally like, he's your Mike Williams type. He's your Vincent Jackson type. He's the guy that's going to play on the boundary. He's the guy that's going to take the play action shots. He's the guy that's going to be the number one target for the most part in most offenses, and especially in this offense that's probably not going to do a ton of 11 personnel. So I'm kind of wondering if in this instance that Odunze would be the pick and not Malik Nabers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree there. We've discussed this the last time. I think last episode or time before that. Odunze, there are more reasons the Chargers would draft Romo Odunze than they would draft Malik Nabers in terms of fit, style, technically the style that Herbert has, you know, succeeded the most with. You know, you can argue he's never had a weapon like Malik Nabers, and he hasn't. But he's had the most EPA per target success with bigger receivers. I guess the only pushback I would say with them looking at a certain type in free agency is maybe they feel they get someone like Nabers and then bring in that X that would be DJ Chark. So he's just kind of the counter to what they're going to take at five. So that's kind of my guess there. But I'm ready for either. I'd be happy with either. I think Romo Odunze is the pick if the Chargers were still under Tom Telesco. And that doesn't mean that, oh, it's a Telesco pick, it's really bad. I think there's just a bit more wiggle room
body with this type, regime. Yeah.
Body type for sure. Technically character. If you like, there's a red flag, I guess, with Malik Nabers. It doesn't seem to be affecting any bit of his draft stock. But if it's predictive, I would still go Malik Nabers because of the way the Ravens just drafted Zay Flowers. And I think that's very unique and very different, and I think that obviously very much so fit. But Odunze is definitely in play here. Like, I think Odunze is in play here more than Joe Alt is.
Yeah, I would tend to agree there. Real quickly on Kelby's point, Neighbors a dog, bro. He's an ex. Malik Neighbors is extremely good. He is my wide receiver too, to be clear. I think him and Odin's are very close by. But Malik Neighbors has taken, I think, like 65% of his snaps from the slot. Mm-hmm. He is not an ex receiver right now. That doesn't mean he can't become one. But traditionally speaking, he is not an ex receiver. He is a slot receiver who can play some backside Z for you. I think Malik Neighbors is very, very good. The Chargers have not had this kind of player really in a very long time in terms of somebody that can just take any pass and take it to the house. So I don't think you should be upset at either. Again, you can like both of these players. I think either one is a fantastic player. If you are looking at like reception perception from Matthew Harmon, Romo Odunze's route tree chart is 100% green. He's the only player in recent memory that I can think of that has a 100% green chart, which means he has a positive success rate on every single route concept. Matt Harmon compared him to Davante Adams like outright. And so Romo Odunze is that kind of receiver. I think he is a better scheme fit. I think I'm not going to say the other part, but I know he's a better scheme fit for this team. So I do think that this is maybe a tougher conversation than people are having, but let's look real quick at the trade and maybe see if the Vikings are even interested here. I would imagine in like real life they would be, but
yeah.
So the trade with the
ahead. You can roll through it. So yeah, they are one of the teams faux inquiring here.
Okay, so the Vikings inquiring here. So Joe Ortiz has said he's not going to take a fair trade, which in this instance for quarterback tax, I think is 11, 23, and next year's third round pick from the Vikings. Is that enough for you to move off of the chance of taking Odunze or Neighbors?
Nope. I'm not moving off of one of these receivers. I'm really not.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take one then. So you kind of said last week that you're kind of potentially considering Odunze over Neighbors. Is that still the case, or are you firm on Neighbors right now?
I am firm Neighbors over Odunze, but I mean, I'll just lay it out right now. Romo Odunze is basically as good of an athlete outside of maybe the speed part, but overall the RAS profiles are similar, very good. He's better than Neighbors in terms of success rate against man, zone, press, and double coverage, which is insane. He's the only player of the last 4 years for reception perception that profiles and charts all these guys and their routes to have all green on his route tree. I think I think Harmon said he couldn't remember anyone over the last 4 years who had that. And I actually don't know who the other player was. So you have a player, and this is the there everyday Ted player. You know, he had 103 yards per game and 9 touchdowns over 10 games with recovering from a fractured rib and punctured lungs.
Yeah.
Everything about Romo Odunze screams Chargers, screams Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman, and everything. I do believe that Malik Neighbors is the better player, but it's very close. And technically, I think the fit for Odunze is better, but I think because you have Josh Palmer, I think you still lean Neighbors. I do think that Palmer can do enough of the X stuff they feel good about, though he's not Romo Odunze the prospect.
No, and I think the X stuff you can tag team between Palmer, some of Quentin. I definitely like Quentin better as a Z or in the slot. Maybe you sign some other veteran receiver. So if we're doing like full predictive, I kind of think they would take Odunze over Neighbors, to be completely honest.
I think I would agree. We can do it. We can do Romo Odunze. It's going to be a bit of a surprise to some, but I genuinely, let's at least do this to have the discussion, because I think people are not bringing this up enough. Like there's like a, yeah, Odunze I like more discussion, but I mean, genuinely the fit, it's kind of better. It kind of makes more sense. So I'm okay with going Romo Odunze here if you want to do something a little bit different. And frankly, I do think the the number of X receivers you can try to find later on, it's more difficult than finding someone with speed, with yak, with some of those things. No shot, they're like Malik Nabers. But I think unless you're dead set on like Polk in round two, you're not going to find a lot of other bigger X receiver types.
Yeah, your X receiver types definitely dry up for sure. But, you know, like you said, maybe this becomes like an Adunze and like a Taj Washington kind of thing, or Malik Washington, or some kind of other yak threat later on.
Okay. So I definitely feel like going with the safer. Okay, let's do it. Let's go Romo Dunze. We have not done this yet. So let's go Romo Dunze.
All right. We're going to take Romo Dunze here. Hopefully you guys are at least like considering that as a possibility, because I think the team is going to as well. Michigan corners locked down Odunze. I think you should rewatch that tape, my friend. Romo Dunze cooked future CB1 Josh for Michigan. I forget his name right now, but let's do Odunze and let's see how it goes.
Sounds good. Let's go Rome Odunze here, who I think is worth the pick. I 100%. Like Neighbors more, but and you like Neighbors more, but I get it. It's a discussion we got to have. So let's see what we can do with this mock.
Yeah, Rome Odunze and Malik Neighbors would each be like a top six receiver I've ever graded. So
I like Odunze more than Devonta Smith. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Grade wise for sure. Dylan mentioning Brock Bowers here. He is ranked higher for me. It's the value. Like I just like financially, I don't think this team can really afford to take a tight end at five. If they trade down and take Bowers, I'm stoked, but financially they got to find some like real surplus value here. And you think you take that at wide receiver.
Yeah. And they brought in a couple of tight ends, and I know it's very different, but
yeah.
Okay, so in terms of, I guess, who's gone now? So Jordan Morgan is gone. Kingsley Suamataya goes really early. Ladd McConkey's gone. Xavier Worthy, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Darius Robinson, Marius Mims, etc. Johnny Newton goes to 28. So at this point, what do you feel about, because we stuck in pick, trading down with either, I don't know what the board specifically is right now, but the Raiders, I think Alex Insdorf entertained this idea. Trade down with the Raiders because they want to get a quarterback, which technically you should have done in the first round, but different, right? And they've certainly taken a quarterback in the second round before, and it's worked out okay. Or would you consider maybe even Jacksonville, who has a lot more draft capital? They're at 48, and if you trade down with them, you can get 48 and 96, or 48 and their 2 fourth-round picks. And that about works out value-wise. Maybe you give up one of your sixth-round picks.
So the Raiders are at 44, right?
44, yeah. So you get their fourth-round pick.
I'm definitely entertaining a trade-down offer. Just for curiosity's sake, will you pull up which quarterbacks are even left right here?
Yeah, no problem. So Bo Nix is available, and Michael Penix are both available.
There has been some chatter that the Rams might be looking quarterback as well. So just to throw that out there. But I'm definitely on team trade-down here. Who's the team that's interested in the trade? Because I see one.
But... Sure. So the team that's interested is
Rams. Okay.
Rams at 52, which sure, that would be on brand for them.
So that would be that would be 52, just off the top of my head, 52-99 and something else.
Probably. So they're at 52. That's I still use the Jimmy Johnson chart because it's easier math for me, smaller numbers.
Sure.
That's 380, so that's a 150 difference. So let me see what the Rams have in terms of their picks. So I said 150 difference. That would be, it would be 83, and maybe you give up like your sixth round pick. So
the Chargers would send 225 or 181?
What do they have?
181 or 225?
Yeah, I'd send 181.
Probably. Okay, so Chargers get here 52 and 83 for 37 and 181.
Yeah, let me just put that on the screen. So it's a 52 and 83 for 37 and 181, if you want to call it fair. Either way, that's fair.
Yeah, but that works for me. Let's do it.
Okay, so I guess my next thing is, you're okay with trading all the way to 52?
I am, because I feel like getting that second pick in the top 90 is worth it. I think maybe you could hold out for like also like 155 or something like that. But I'm cool trading all the way down to 52 because I trust that we can get that extra value recouped by having an extra pick in the top 83.
Okay, let's do it then. Let's trade down. Let's get that 83rd pick, which is going to be awesome, I'm sure. Let me just never mind. We'll just wait.
Can I? Do you want to see if the Raiders are interested? I know like you could force.
No, not necessarily. I just want to see what's on the board real quick, just to make sure like we cover like what we're moving off of. So Troy Franklin, so receivers off the board, obviously. So we'd be looking at Frazier, Saint Ristill. Probably it, unless you want to go defensive tackle. To me, like trading back for D tackle or maybe a corner or something is better. So we could trade back into a corner, into a guard, into a lineman, into a okay. Cool.
Yeah. The only person here that I would be sad about passing on is Saint Ristill, I think, but you can recoup, you know, a slot corner later on with a Jerry.
He might be there.
Yeah, he might be there. So you could get, you know, Jerrion Jones, you could get a Jarvis Brownlee, mm-hmm. somebody else later on. So yeah. I'm on board with the trade down with the Rams. I know going down 15 spots is going to drive some people crazy, but
mm-hmm.
heck, that's a 92% chance of being accepted without throwing in 181. So
yeah. Want to leave it like this?
Yeah.
I think that's really fair. Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's do give up 37, trade down, get 52 and 83 and see what we've got. I'll force the trade anyway, but
yeah.
Okay. Cool. Perfect. Let's do it. Let's see what ends up on the board for us. Okay, so Roman Wilson goes, but that's fine. Saint Ristill goes at 43. Patrick Paul, 41. Peyton Wilson at 39. So there's maybe some targets for the Chargers there. But thankfully, because they took their receiver early on, we're not sitting here desperate for one of those round two receivers.
Right, right.
So
If they flipped, sorry to cut you off.
If
flipped and you take offensive line at five, then like this is if you trade down, you definitely have to take a receiver here. And for me, that probably would be Pearsall or I don't know if Polk went, but one of those two. Mm-hmm.
People are mentioning Fisk in the chat, Braden Fisk. Great film, total fun. I totally don't think he fits whatsoever with what the Chargers want out of their defensive linemen. They want to go run first, more power. Fisk is a gap shooter, pass rusher, high motor, awesome player. I just don't know that he fits.
Yeah, I think if they are going to go with a like pass rush emphasis, it's got to be somebody who has some power to him. Like I do think Michael Hall would fit that bag because he does have some power to him. Mm-hmm. Athletically too, and like arm length wise, size wise, he's probably more of their type. Mm-hmm. I think Rook from Clemson, I think, is like textbook like Chargers guy in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The data loves Rook also, so
does.
He's somebody I'm interested in. I do think the Chargers are going to be targeting a defensive lineman on day two, unless they trade down on day one and you can get, you know, somebody at value mm-hmm. in the first round.
Right.
I do think we probably should take a defensive lineman in one of our day two picks, but I think we kind of agree that this is maybe cornerback territory, although
the corner. So it depends. If you want to play this specific board, then you can wait for Kyrie Jackson. Cause we have 69 and he's now 87th. The corner board for PFF is wild. I haven't watched Carson yet. Renato Green, I get him being there. Jones at 113, slot guy, but still, that's ridiculous. This stretch of DJ James, Cam Hart, DeKamarion Richardson, and I just started watching him, so I don't have a total take, but like Elijah Jones, you want that athletic corner who's like 6 foot or taller? These are your guys. I mean, so I think in terms of this board, we can wait on corner. Although, I mean, Trevor Sikkema took Kyrie Jackson at 37. So, like, I would get it.
Yeah.
I feel like we can wait. But to me, it is defense. Now that you've gone offense, you go defense. So, I'm looking at either corner or defensive lineman here. If I'm predictive, I'm probably still going with Chris Jenkins. Which
is too
easy, but
is Colson on the board here?
Colson is on the board. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, for what it's worth... Again, this is like social media draft guys, but Eagles fans, podcasters, Browns fans, podcasters, Dolphins fans and podcasters, they all want their teams to pick Junior Colson at 53, 54, 55 from what I've seen. So I do think if you want Colson, I think this is probably where you would have to take him if you're the Chargers.
Yeah, that's going to be too early for me.
See, I would be okay with taking Colson at 52.
I think Colson at 52 isn't the worst thing ever. I just think there's too many other things the Chargers have to address. Like, I just don't. Same thing with running back, like Jonathan Brooks right here. Hey, that's not bad at 52. I just don't think there's too many other needs.
Yeah. Okay, so I think let's target defensive tackle then.
Okay.
Where are you at with Jenkins versus Rook?
Let me see where I have them ranked. So I'll tell you right now, I will go Jenkins over Rook if we're doing slightly predictive, because it's predictive. Okay, so out of 10, I have Jenkins at an 8.3 and Rook at an 8.25. So
so you're pretty close there.
Pretty close there. I think Rook's game overall is more balanced, but I think Jenkins, and I think Cody Alexander even showed us as much showing Jenkins play, like the way he plays, he understands it, it's a plug and play. I just think it makes a little too much sense at that point. Yes, Michael points out he is a little bit more one-dimensional, but he's a run first guy who rushes with power. It's not that he's necessarily one-dimensional, it's just the scheme requires a certain way of playing, and I know he fits that to a T. So I would go Jenkins here over Rook. I have them both obviously graded very similarly, but I go with Jenkins. And that game against Washington, he dominated. Like, he showed a ton as a pass rusher. It makes me go, okay, that's the guy. And again, Harbaugh, it didn't turn out this way, but it called him the mutant of all mutants. So when your head coach calls you the mutant of all mutants, yeah, you kind of might be the pick here.
And there was that clip of like the Harbaughs together at the combine, where Jim was talking about like a player who just embodies like his kind of Michigan mentality. It was Chris Jenkins, that guy. Mm-hmm. So I do have them graded pretty similarly. I do think that Rook has a bit more like pass rush juice to him. Mm-hmm. But I think Jenkins' fit is obvious here. And I think, you know, between him and Puno Ford, like, you can move those guys around. You can create some havoc against the run. And I do think Jenkins can continue to develop. Like, when he showed up at Michigan as a freshman, I want to say he was like 225 pounds. Like, this is a guy that's still on the up and up here. So Chris Jenkins at 37, I'm not crazy about. But Jenkins at 52 after a trade down, I'm on board with. And like I said, I think the Chargers are really, really interested in the defensive tackle room on day two. So I'm cool with Jenkins here at 52. And obviously, it is a predictive mock here, at least somewhat. So let's take Jenkins here at 52 then.
Okay. Let's do it. So we've gone Romo Odunze and a defensive tackle. I'm sure the chat hates us, but believe it or not, there's other picks we can talk about, and we're going to get to some of these.
So the Chargers here, again, since we traded down, have 52, 69, 83, 105, 110. So a lot of good value here for the Chargers. Yeah. Are you thinking this is corner or safety? I saw you looking at safety, or was that just Hicks?
Safety just happened to be on there because Hicks was up there. I'm looking at corner or Junior Colson. I don't know if that's two. Not on the nose, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Like Benson, if you want to go more deep threat style, we could go another receiver, Walker, Baker. I'm feeling corner here, though, only because, like, our non-negotiables is double dipping a corner.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wait till 83 to see what's left. I've not liked Andrew Phillips for a while. I saw your grade. I can't say you would take him at 69 either.
It's so weird because, like, you hear everybody talk about him who likes him, and it's like, yeah, traditionally this isn't a guy I like because there's zero ball production. You know, there's some age concerns, athletic concerns. I'm like, so why does everybody like him? I don't get it. But, you know, it is what it is. Part of the draft here. So just real quick, for curiosity's sake, can you pull up like into your offensive line or offensive tackle? Yeah,
absolutely. One of the only things I was really, other than moving off of Marvin Harrison Jr., I was surprised Daniel Popper didn't take an offensive tackle. And maybe there was some idea that Fautano could play tackle, but it doesn't seem like he's headed that direction. And even then, you're taking, you know, the whole discussion about alt, I mean, Faltano was the left tackle, so moving him over to right is kind of a pain too.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are good players too. I think we can wait on some of this depth.
Yeah, we are at 83, so.
Yeah, right. We have to give them again at 83.
I think the Chargers did host Brandon Coleman for a top 30 visit, for what it's worth.
I haven't watched him.
I think he's better suited at guard, and I think that's, I'm pretty sure that's what Brandon Thorne has as well. To me, so. he kind of reminded me of like discount version of JC Latham. So I could see him being a fit just from like a power perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, he's like firmly a guard. Like, I don't think he plays tackle. I think he's a guard.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's where they want to go here.
Yeah. I do not know. I don't know anything about Coleman.
I think he's worth watching if you get the time.
Know. Okay. Yeah. I definitely will. There's a lot of interior offensive linemen in this class. I think I've watched like 20 total, and there's still like 10 more to get to in the top 200. It's just, there's a lot.
I think they can wait on offensive line here. So I'm cool with going with one of the corners.
Okay. So in that case, I mean, Kyrie Jackson is my favorite. Jones, if we're playing the board, here's the thing. Jackson's probably not going to be there at 83. I think the rest of the corners I really like, including Dick Kamiri and Richardson, Hart, DJ James, etc. So, but like, those guys are all there on the board. If that's how PFF sees them, I'm going to play the board, you know, that way and not take one of these guys I think are almost worth the selection here. So my vote is currently Kyrie Jackson. I did not like Cooper, the linebacker. So Kyrie Jackson, a running back, or Colson is kind of my vote here, unless there's and I think we can wait on offensive line, which I know people will hate us for, but believe me, it's a very good class. Just turn on the tape. I'll give you my all 22.
Yeah. Kyrie's tough for me to get a feel for if he would be like a Harbaugh Minter type, just because like he's going to be 25 as a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's suspended at Alabama. I don't know. That's a tough one for me to predict. Although the tape is a ton of fun.
Yeah. So,
Hayden Goble asking about Jalen Wright. I think if you want Jalen Wright, you got to take him right here at pick 69.
Yeah, he's 16 on this board. Yeah.
I don't want to just do the Michigan thing. I just love Junior Colson, and the linebacker class sucks so bad.
It's really bad. I've hated it.
Yeah. I think you got to take a corner here. So let's do Kyrie.
Okay. Let's do it. And I think that you can always find a different corner later on. I think Kyrie Jackson is so specifically different than everyone else that him being unique is good.
And this is a guy that could challenge for your starting outside corner spot right away.
Yeah, I think he would be.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay. Well, if I'm a running back, here we go.
Ah, Junior Colson at 81.
Jerks. It's fine. I didn't want to hear him here at 83. That would have just been too nice.
Ray Davis, man. That'd be a lot of fun. Trey Benson, too. I think Trey Benson's going to be like a round two pick, personally.
I agree. I definitely agree. So, okay, we were considering interior offensive line or offensive lines. So let's bring that up. Obviously, I liked Cooper Beebe. If he can definitely even try out for center, that'd be interesting. McCormick can definitely play each of those, and then Norzad can play each of those. So
Coleman must have went then, obviously.
Yeah, Coleman went at 73 to the Lions, which would be fun.
Yeah, I do think this is probably where I would take a guard, but I do think the Chargers would consider running back here too.
I think they would. So obviously Blake Corum's off the board. So yay. But now you can consider a running back. I mean, the best player available for me right now is probably Trey Benson on my board. I can't imagine there's another player.
For sure.
Maybe
BB. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon Trice, but yeah. Chargers can't take an edge rusher here. Michael Hall didn't move up at all, and with the update, he's still at 107.
Yeah, people think it's just he's only a pass rusher, and boo him for rushing the passer.
Yeah, not like that's super valuable at all in today's NFL.
Yeah, two notable movements I did want to point out are Blake Watson at 114 and Isaiah Davis at 116, whereas before it felt like he was the other thing you did in round seven.
Yeah.
When you didn't know what to do. Now they're up here, way up. Yeah, Tavon Dorsett at 122, given everything.
I like
Benson here the most, but I could be convinced into a guard, guard slash center.
I have a hard time seeing this regime not taking an offensive lineman until day three. I kind of would, if this is mostly predictive, I kind of would take one of the offensive linemen.
Okay, so my vote is, I mean, if there's any buzz about BB playing any bit of center, then I think that one is the one for me. Because I've seen him do well.
Yeah, I'm on board with BB.
He can technically play tackle too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cooper BB, love what he did against Texas, Missouri, and whatever other game I watched. Yeah. And he can play tackle if you need him to. So, yeah, okay, Cooper BB here.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with him playing center. I do. Okay. I think he's
shown
enough there. But worst case scenario is he challenges for your right guard spot right away and wins that job and is your long-term guy. So I have a significantly higher grade on Trey Benson, but I would really be shocked if they do not take an offensive lineman until day three.
Yeah, it did feel very Harbaugh. I mean, geez, Popper took three interior offensive linemen in his box. So I'm sorry. So just with Cooper BB, are we now taking center off the board as well? Or just saying, like, hey, could be either?
I think could be. I think with BB, you are ideally playing him at guard, and he could potentially play center.
Okay.
So gives you some flexibility, but I think you want to see him start at guard first.
Okay. So good competition with Jamari, who technically could be the swing tackle or anything else.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'm down with Cooper Beebe here. He'd probably be my second best player after Benson.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have an offensive lineman. So we have Romo Odunze. We have Chris Jenkins, Kyrie Jackson, Cooper Beebe. We've got two premium positions and then two trench players. That's a pretty good balance so far.
Yeah.
Now I just feel like we can kind of have fun with these other picks.
Yeah. So I think for me, this is the running back room board looks who have dried up. So that is where we could target here. Mm-hmm. Tight end is where we could target here.
Yeah.
The Chargers do. I do not want to even look at the linebacker board right now. So for me, this is like fourth round is like perfect for running back and tight end. And I think this is why you wait. And mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of Blake Corum stuff out there. You cannot take a running back earlier than like late third round, in my opinion, with the needs that this team has. And the way that this board falls in round four is perfect for them. So for me, round four, both of the round four picks, I think are best suited for running back and tight end.
Yeah, I definitely don't mind that.
You watched Tracy.
Yeah, it's weird because you never see a receiver, converted receiver, go to running back and then just like want to break tackles and want to hit people. But the fit is kind of odd and he's a bit older. The projection's a bit odd because of all that uncertainty. I mean, he literally just switched to running back.
Yeah.
So, and I wish that Purdue used him more as a like an actual receiver. Sometimes like, let's just see what you got, like run a route and then show me something. And I think if he had done that, or if I had seen that, he'd be a perfect addition for the Chargers because he has that, some of that receiving element. Okay. The most different player obviously here is Blake Watson, like Davis, Braylon Allen, Tracy, contact, bigger guys. Generally Watson is smaller.
Is that estimate down there too?
Yeah. Aldrick estimate is at 123.
Wow. I thought he'd be higher on there. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if the 40 time and stuff is kind of scaring some people. Obviously, we have like, not that he tested poorly, but Watson's fast. I don't know if Davis is very fast, but. So it depends on whether we want to go, if we do running back, a similar type and technically a more, you know, a better runner, or Blake Watson, who's completely different, but would round out the room a lot better.
Isaiah Davis ran a 4.57 for what it's worth.
Okay.
So how would you look at Tracy versus Blake Watson?
Just different. I think Blake Watson is a much more advanced, has more advanced vision. He's played the position longer. I mean, technically, yeah, he was, I don't remember if he's a converted wideout or not at Old Dominion, but he's the receiving threat. He's the twitch back. His RAS profile is also freaking awesome. How he tested. He's pretty good after contact too. So I like Watson more than Tracy. I think I have Watson like maybe like round 3 grade or something.
Yeah.
And Tracy was a round 5 grade for me. So I'm actually surprised Tracy's even up this high. So
yeah.
If they didn't sign J.K. Dobbins, I think we're having the Isaiah Davis discussion. But if we want to go running back, that's different. I think you go, not that, again, Ortiz says Dobbins doesn't change anything for them.
Yeah.
But I think that, so is that. Or we go tight end, and Cade Stover's my tight end too. I'll tell you that right now.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. I just think. The blocking isn't, he's not a blocking tight end, that's for sure, but he's a power forward. And I think when you show up to Michigan and over the last couple of years, like I think he had 100 some yards in those two games, some pretty good catches. I think he's potentially very different. He like Blake Watson almost maybe rounds out the room better, but Ben Sinnott fits like the style of the offense better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I do kind of think that Stover, from a receiving perspective, is probably like your long-term Hayden Hurst. Like, I think that role
basically
fits pretty well for him.
Yeah.
So I don't hate that, and we haven't taken Stover before. The tight end room is so hard to get a read on because, like, I saw somebody the other day that had Jared Wiley from TCU as, like, tight end 3, and I'm like, what?
I don't
understand it. We obviously both like Tanner McLaughlin, who can be had later as well.
Yeah.
The Chargers are at least from a visit perspective, they're doing a lot more homework on like a pure receiver type, which mm-hmm. is Stover in this instance.
Yeah. And we just went with Romo Odunze, and I think Stover's kind of like this sounds blasphemous, like your tight end Odunze. No drops, 60% contested catch rate, like the hands are there. I can cut up in like a half an hour of highlights of Stover just, you know, catching something great, adjusting, etc. So you go Dunze, who doesn't drop anything, and you go Staver, who doesn't drop anything. That's a heck of a hands team.
Yeah, and Palmer as well.
Yeah, no kidding. So and then you let Quentin Johnson do his thing. And if he drops something, it's okay. Stover, that power forward stuff, the power slot type. I really like Stover. So it's either him. I think it's him, which is funny. We could pick again at 110.
Yeah.
But I worry about Stover being gone, or as a running back, I think we'll be there.
Yeah, I'm on board. Let's take Stover. I don't love the blocking, but I think with Isley and Hayden Hurst, you can have that covered. And he has the frame. It's weird because usually when like a defensive lineman switches the tight end, they're like instantly a good blocking tight end.
Yeah.
I think you're also betting on Stover becoming a better tight end with some development here. He certainly has the size to it. I do think like vertically, Stover's a much better pass catcher than Sanat. So I'm cool with it. You take Stover here, round out the tight end room. You get a long-term asset in there as the team should have done last year. So work for me.
Cool. All right. I like that. That's fun. And we have not really lost anything on running back except for...
Yeah.
No, they're all still here.
Yeah. I can't get Blake Watson out of my head in this room just because I think he would fill that Keaton Mitchell, Justice Hill role like so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted a double dip at receiver, I'm not like opposed to it, but I think Blake Watson has some like real instant juice to this team.
Yeah, I think we can wait on receiver. I don't love this grouping here. Yeah, Blake Watson. It'll seem weird for Chargers fans or any fans because he was the guy at 240 and now he's up here at 114. But
the film is so fun.
Film's so fun. You know, Dane Brugler talked about, you know, him as a. Talked about him, and then Daniel Jeremiah talked about him. NFL Stock Exchange guys, I think Trevor said he just got to him, and that's why he's moved up so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trevor was like, "Oh my god, like this is." So they were doing Tyrone Tracy, Blake Watson as two of their like later guys, like other guys that we had discussed. Watson in this room. I'm totally on board with that. You've got the Gus Edwards. Yeah, I think it's honestly a perfect fit.
Yeah,
and you can do it plenty with Blake Watson.
Yeah, and so I mean, you're probably betting on J.K. Dobbins more than some fans would be comfortable with, but I think you trust Gus for the bulk of the carries right now, and Blake Watson is your pass catcher. So if J.K. Dobbins can give you anything in between, then you're cool with it. And that room is much better than what it was last year. So I love the idea of Blake Watson just being that explosive threat from the backfield. You know, he's done some jet sweep stuff. He's done a lot of the gadget plays at Memphis. The speed is fantastic. He can return kicks. He can return punts if Darius Davis can't. So to me, it gives you a lot of flexibility. And this is instant impact, which is very difficult in round four. But his role instantly provides value for the Chargers. And I would be really happy with that.
Yeah, as would I. As far as the fit, like, okay, he's smaller. Now, Keaton Mitchell went undrafted, but Keaton Mitchell was 5'7", 179. And I don't think the Ravens regret signing him. No. So I think that, or Justice Hill for that matter. How big is Justice Hill? Justice Hill.
He can't be.
He's not a bigger guy.
Yeah.
And they took Justice Hill, who is 5'9", 198. So a little heavier. They took him at pick 113.
There you go.
Here at 110.
So. There you go. Yeah, I'm on board.
Good enough for the Ravens. Good enough for me.
Yeah.
Although it's very different. All right. Yeah. So Watson here, totally fine. I think there's enough precedent. I think it makes sense in the room. It fits. I definitely don't think there's 109 players better than him. So yeah, cool. I like that.
Theo Johnson's down pretty far.
Yeah, it's weird. He was like 80th, and then people went, "Oh wait, never mind." He did the reverse, like Johnny Newton.
Yeah. I would love to get a second corner here if possible, or a second receiver.
I'm right there with you on that one. So I've not watched Smith Wade, though I hear he's shorter. So
DJ James is fun, man. I like DJ James.
DJ James is awesome. I think Cam Hart is a more natural outside fit, but DJ James can do a bit of both. Super fast. Loved his film. The two touchdowns he allowed versus Alabama were like the random Hail Mary. And then I think a coverage bust that was assigned to him. So I think that those stats in that game are a lot better than people are maybe giving him credit for.
You really like Anthony Gold, but
I don't like him this well. Okay, I do, but I don't like him this early, especially if he's projected 170.
Okay.
I definitely, let me just look at just receiver. So we're looking for someone who can fly. Yeah, that would be Gold. Did Washington go higher on their board? He went to 123. Okay.
That's a bummer.
Interesting. Yeah, no, definite bummer there. I'm fine waiting for Gold. McCaffrey, I didn't love, although him running halfback dives into Tavondre Sweat was really stupid. Oh, that's the end of the receiver board, that 300?
Yeah, okay. We probably got to take one here. I have not watched Jaquan Jackson, but he's fast.
All right. we take a corner?
We could take a corner here for sure. Yeah, we could do that.
I can at least tell you who these corners are. Let me just triple check on anybody else. Obviously, Mustafa is a safety.
Cedric Gray is probably the last linebacker I would be interested in for what it's worth.
Buddy, I think I'm just going to let this linebacker core be hell and sign a guy
next year.
Yeah, figure it out next year. Also, I finally watched Jaheim Bell, and I'm just so confused at what Florida State was doing.
It makes no sense.
Guy. And he's like 6'2".
Yeah, makes no sense. 6'2".
I mean, like, they used him fine. It's just funny to see the differences.
Wow, Christian Jones is on the board?
He keeps falling. I'm not really sure why. Like, I get that he's not a perfect prospect, but he feels like a good, like, mid-round guy, not a fifth-round pick kind of guy. I definitely consider Walter Rouse, who's just, like, the big 35 and a half inch arm guy, but plays at Oklahoma. If you ever watch Oklahoma film, you kind of get what they like to do as blockers. Like, they're not nice.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to taking one of these tackles here, man. I know we just talked about corner, but
yeah, Jason
Jones on the board here. Javon Foster, I like, although
I think we can wait for Rouse. Oh, really? Okay. Interesting. I didn't consider him there. Yeah, I like Foster enough to take him here. Same Rouse, probably. I'd like to take a corner so we can sleep easy because we don't have a slot corner.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so more traditional outside in Cam Hart or DJ James, who can do a bit of both. Richardson, I don't remember how much slot he played, and Elijah Jones later on definitely plays in the slot too. I guess
I like Cam Hart a lot. I think,
yeah,
we kind of already did that with Kyrie. Fulton's outside, Asante's outside. They need a slot guy, so I would say DJ James here, or wait for Elijah Jones, who I have not watched, but athletically, like, he checks a lot of boxes.
Oh, yeah, no, he should not be 225th. I kind of have him in the same grouping as these guys with James and Richardson, okay. So.
Yeah, I'm on board with DJ James.
Okay, cool. Let's do it. Secondary taken care of.
I loved his blitz tape for what it's worth. I thought he was a fantastic blitzer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of really solid, like 185 pound, 6-foot-ish corners who like to like hit in this class.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice group.
Braxton asking about the Florida State corners. Yes, both of them went. Like both of them, but
yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. If you were here, that would have been my thing. Okay, so you want to... of course, I think the tackles just went, so that kind of dries us up there. I got nothing in terms of these offensive tackles.
You like... Jones, I mean, he's obviously familiar with them, but...
Yeah, waiting on
that's like real project, because he was not even a starter.
No, yeah. No, God bless him for doing as well as he did in the three biggest games of his career.
Yeah. So right. Toa Laumea, for those wondering, I know he's listed as an offensive tackle, but he's definitely an interior guy in the league. Yeah. I do think he fits stylistically like what they would want. And he was Utah's emergency center. So I'm not opposed to that. It just means that we took two interior offensive lineman guys instead of an offensive tackle type, but, but he would give them some flexibility. could play all three interior spots. Utah ran the shit out of gap and power run. So he definitely fits stylistically what the Chargers want on the interior. And we didn't take a receiver, right? He's listed as a tackle.
We did not take a receiver. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
didn't take a receiver. The only one I've watched at this point is Cephas, who's more of a yak guy, so not the worst thing. But again, if you wait,
it's Chargers. Yeah, need, so.
Right. So, other than the running backs, I recognize technically we could go edge rusher or a rusher like Lee.
Didn't watch Barrett here.
Yeah,
in the sixth round, I think this is fine value for Barrett.
I'm not opposed. How Rasheen Ali is that far? McKinley Jackson, good God, that guy has fallen. 205. They think they had, it was Taylor who was supposed to be the first round pick this upcoming year.
But I think like the first time I did a mock draft, McKinley Jackson was like in the 70s.
Oh yeah, he definitely wasn't 200. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. You like Briggs as a nose tackle, right? That's pretty far down though.
Yeah, that's pretty far down at 219.
I'm shocked that Boyd is down here.
Yeah, I really feel like he's everyone's prospect that people like, and that he hasn't really moved. I think maybe let's see, where's the consensus board?
Thomas Martinez votes for Jordan Jefferson, for what it's worth.
Ah.
The other LSU defensive lineman.
Yeah, of the other four of them that play interior. So let's see. Yeah, Boyd's 165 on the consensus board. I don't know. Maybe it's a small school thing.
My vote would be for Barrett or Laumea or the receiver, but you think we can wait for the receiver?
Yeah. So let's go with Barrett. Let's bring in the Michigan guy, smash the over on the 1.5.
They're going to take two, at least two, I think.
I think so. There's just too many players.
Yeah. And Barrett in the sixth round, I think is fine value.
Yeah. Why are we going slow?
All right, so Chargers here, rounding out the draft of picks 225 and 253. Did the receiver go?
Thank God, no. Okay. So Cephas has not gone yet. He's improved every year that he's been there at UTSA. On the composite rankings compared to the rest of the class, Cephas is, if I can find it, fifth in yards after the catch per reception in this class, which is actually technically higher than Malik Nabers, but I wouldn't classify them as the exact same.
No.
So, but still top five in this class, and a pretty good class. So right behind Worthy and who was it? Corley. So if you want a yak guy, I'm all for it. Let me check the RAS profile.
He ran a 4.58.
Great. Well, that's faster than me.
And he's 6'2", for what it's worth.
True.
6'2", 190, 4.58. That kind of athletic profile looks like an X.
Yeah. So let's see.
So in this instance, they're signing Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yes, they are. Signing MVS. Tanner McLaughlin, like, just went before us, by the way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah is tight end two.
Wow, he hasn't been a tight end two. Okay.
He said he was his tight end two in the class. Yeah.
Wow. I saw the tweet that he said he was higher on him. I didn't see that he had him all the way up at tight end two.
Okay, now
So yeah, I'm cool on just passing on wide receiver here. I know people will hate it, but I don't know who they would take here.
Yeah, number two tight end for Daniel Jeremiah, which was an eye opener for me. Okay, so if we're passing a receiver, then we've got to consider half the names I don't understand or know. So who's your random person down here? I'll be honest, I don't even know half the names at this point.
It dries up quick for sure.
Hey, Josh Wallace, Trent Jones. Jones, by the way, I kind of have him more as a guard anyway. So
okay.
Nugent, I didn't like. And Barnhart was the guy that Chop Robinson obliterated.
Yeah. He's dude, I'm not opposed to Cedric Johnson here.
Me neither.
As a pass rushing developmental guy who can play 100%. Special teams, yep. I'm on board with Cedric Johnson.
Yeah, not opposed here for Cedric Johnson. Cool, let's do it.
All right.
Got a edge rusher.
Yeah, Thomas Martinez pointing out Frank Crum, the tackle from Wyoming. He's like one of the most most athletic offensive tackles ever, but I have not watched, and he just went at pick 250. So,
okay, the only other one is Lediatric Griffin. I'm just checking the RAS so I don't talk about him being fast, and he's not. 4.45, so not slow, but not a 4.3 guy.
Fast. How tall is he?
He is 5'10".
That probably 91. Fits. Is he? He's probably not on the composite rankings, though.
As a matter of fact, he is, Steven, and he's third in yards after the catch per reception.
Let's go. Sign me up. Sold.
We did it. Look at that. Look at us praying the shit for you guys. Look at the random stuff. Even if we don't know him, we'll pretend like we know him. All right, so we got our 4.45 guy. Third yak per reception in this class. Ooh,
Tyler, we earned a new award on PFF.
Biggest bozo. Asian. What did we get? We didn't take Ed Cooper.
Ah, shit.
That's fine. Damn. So what did we get? We ended up with B plus. Look at that. Not bad. Right. So Romo, do you want to go for it?
Okay, sounds good. So to recap here for those who missed it, we took Romo Odunze at number 5 after a spirited discussion between him and neighbors. We traded down with the Rams to take Chris Jenkins at 52, Kyrie Jackson, the cornerback from Oregon, at 69. Cooper Beebe is the player who we selected with the extra pick there to play interior offensive line. To Cade Stover, the tight end from Ohio State, Blake Watson, the running back from Memphis, DJ James, the corner from Auburn, to play the slot for us, Michael Barrett, the linebacker from Michigan, to cover our Michigan quota, Cedric Johnson, the edge rusher from Ole Miss, and then Lediatric, is that how we're saying that? Lediatric, sure. Griffin, the wide receiver from Mississippi State.
Cool.
To round it out.
Yeah, so overall, see if I can zoom out a tiny bit here.
I'm pretty dang happy with this, honestly.
Okay, here's the thing. A, I'm very happy with this, and B, I actually think this fits what the Chargers would kind of lean towards. Our only differing points were Odunze versus neighbors, but otherwise the rest of the way, I think the Chargers would totally do this.
Yeah.
Jenkins obviously is a fit. Jackson, unicorn at corner in terms of size at that point. BB is a great interior option. Stover definitely, I think, fits and rounds out that room. Watson completely rounds out that room. Jackson and James is two corners you bring in. Feel great about that. Barrett with the fit. Sed Johnson, who I think is a coach ed guy. I would take him
at
225. And then Griffin, who's going to be fast enough and speedy enough.
Yeah, and you could still sign Marquez Valdes-Scantling here if you wanted.
Totally. And that's part of it, too, is that they don't feel like they have that guy. They can go get that guy.
Yeah.
So this, honestly, kind of feels like what they might do on Thursday. I'll be completely honest, because we did prioritize trenches. I honestly wasn't even going to go with BB, but now looking at it, yeah, like the Chargers, they would do this. I think Harbaugh would have thrown a fit if they didn't take an offensive lineman. So you're not dropping anything with Odunze and Stover, who I think have like two drops between them this year. Yeah. And I think their average is about 67.5% contested catch. So great.
Yeah.
Watson is awesome. James, Jackson, Barrett, Johnson, Griffin. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of starters in here just from like a necessity standpoint too. So you get your wide receiver one, starting defensive tackle, starting outside corner,
easily
starting right guard.
Yep.
Starting slot, DJ James, maybe? Potentially?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think he does. I think DJ James starts in the slot.
So that's great right there. Michael Barrett can challenge for something. I kind of be surprised if he's a starter, but maybe he plays. Blake Watson has a role. Cade Stover has a role.
Yeah.
And then you kind of see where you're at with Cedric Johnson and Lediatric Griffin. So, and the Chargers get to 10 picks here, as Gabriel pointed out, which is kind of one of our other goals here. So I would be pretty happy with this, man. You guys in the chat here, let us know what you think. Obviously a lot of people are not going to like the whole Malik Nabers decision here, but I would be stoked with this draft, man. I think it fits the identity. I think it fits the RAS profiles. I think it fits the culture, and you get a bunch of starters out of this draft, hopefully.
Yeah. No, there's like seven players on this, maybe eight, who are just flat out going to play in year one.
Yeah.
Unless BB can't beat out Sawyer, but that's not the worst thing ever. And let me think. Nick points out the Ravens didn't draft a receiver early. I guess they never took one at 5, but obviously Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Torrey Smith, Hollywood Brown.
There's a lot of first round picks in there.
Yeah, Smith is a second rounder, and then Harbaugh took AJ Jenkins at 30. So, yeah. But not at five, as I think what's what he means. But
yeah.
All interesting. Right. Yeah. Okay. I got to get back to this. We've been buzzing this way about Odunze, you know.
Are you upset?
Man. No, I'm not. I'm the most intrigued by it, and I think it's at least worth having the discussion, because that might be the pick, man. I don't think it's a total mistake that, you know, Daniel Jeremiah has him over Malik Nabers and Benjamin Solek has him over Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
It's just a style difference at that point, and your style fits like that style fits
the
Chargers more. So, and I can truly honestly tell you, and this is kind of our Joe Alt discussion, I don't really know for sure the Chargers can make Nabers work with Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh and the way they play football. I mean, I think he'd be just fine. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Romo Odunze, it's like Anquan Boldin. Okay. Got that. Like I see that. Not that he's Nico Collins, but you know, like those kind of guys.
Similar profile though. I mean, like athletically, size wise, I think Odunze really is their type, man. I think if Marvin Harrison is there, you have that discussion, but I think if it's Odunze versus Nabers, I think this team leans Odunze. I really do.
I can make more, and we've done it. I can think of more reasons they'd take Odunze than Nabers. I can give you reasons why I'd take Nabers, but right. Why the Chargers would, there are more reasons they'd take Odunze.
Yeah.
So as NSM points out, like breakaway speed. I mean, he Nabers, yak, speed, you name it. Of the three, he's the most unique in that regard. But I mean, if you're getting, I don't know if it wants Nabers, but if Daniel Jeremiah is saying Larry Fitzgerald and Matt Harmon is saying Devontae Adams, like it's not the worst thing to be discussing there in round one.
Yeah. Interesting. On a mock draftable, the athletic comparison closest to Romo Odunze is Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Meh. Robinson's been a quality player, man. Miles Austin is second for what it's worth if you like him more.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hopefully he avoids the hamstring injuries.
Yeah. I wonder who his RAS comparisons are, because RAS doesn't compare size.
Yeah. I'm not saying this happens, but fitness brought up like Ayuk. I'm not saying that happens, but what I'm trying to get at is if Harbaugh feels like they need a guy, like Ortiz is going to get that guy.
Yeah, I kind of would be surprised if the 49ers traded Ayuk. I think he's like legit soon to be top 10 receiver in the league. But
yeah,
to me, if the 49ers were going to trade a receiver, I think it's Deebo, because he's been injured all the time. He's older.
Yeah, it's more of a contract shed than
a
value thing.
That's funny. Okay. Romo Odunze's number one RAS comparison is Braylon Edwards, former Michigan wide receiver. Didn't nice. Necessarily pan out in the league, but
yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, we got a couple of super chats here to get to, we'll wrap up.
Cool.
Andrew, I thought he was a new member. Been a member. Shout out to Andrew. Appreciate it. Anthony Navarro said earlier, Odunze will be a Charger. Calling it now. Love all of you. And then he has the scripture, John 3:30 in there. So
nice.
Calling his shot for sure. That was earlier in the show, but
yeah.
Ivan Sabarius says, hey, Steven. You should have said, hey, Steven and Tyler, but we appreciate it. Where do you think Michael Hall Jr. will end up? Any chance the Chargers pick him up with the third? I think Michael Hall should be getting more first round hype. Like, this is a guy who checks all the data boxes. He checks the athletic profile, checks the film, balled out at the Senior Bowl. I don't understand why he's not getting a first round hype or even like top 40 hype. Doesn't make any sense to me. I think Tyler and I are on the same board here, but what do you think specifically about like him being a potential Charger?
I think this team, okay. The wild card that we haven't really discussed the most is how they feel about Otito Agbonia.
Yeah.
Because even the Ravens, we know Justin Madubuike, we know Travis Jones, but Michael Pierce is a, I think they pay him pretty well too. He's 326 and he plays a good amount for them and he's an integral part of their defense. And so I'm curious how much of a role Otito plays because he's also 320 something and the only guy that's that weight and Michael Hall is not that weight. So if they feel comfortable with Otito being that guy, then I think Michael Hall, what, I take him at 37, I guess. Yeah, because I think he's that talented.
Yeah.
But you'd have to convince me that he fits what they want first, which I think could be the case. Like you get your Madubuike or whatever, and then Otito is your Michael Pierce. Great. But again, if they want a run first guy, that is not Michael Hall.
No, it's not. He's your pass rushing type. Taking Michael Hall to complement that room is a ton of fun. You know, the ability to get him in to learn from Morgan Fox is fantastic as well. But yeah, you don't really have right now anyways. I mean, Puna and Otito are your two like run stuffing defensive tackle guys. And I don't think that's enough. And I know everybody wants Gerard Clark and CJ Okoye to work out. I'm not expecting anything from those two. So I understand why you take it to the run defense guy. The good thing about Jenkins is, like I said, I think he does have pass rush potential that hasn't been untapped yet. That's something he can grow into. So Michael Hall's run defense tape is not bad, but I don't think it's what
it's more stylistically than it is.
Yeah, he's a gap shooter, and
yeah,
I just don't know if this defense really prioritizes that.
Yeah, so the highlights are great. He'll arm over for a tackle for loss, but he's not like a I'm going to hold two gaps and stay here sort of guy.
Yeah. But I would be stoked because of the pass rush juice.
Mm-hmm.
Heron Ahmed, what are your true thoughts on doubling back? Been reading a lot about the Eagles wanting to move up, trade back with the Vikes, then again with the Eagles. Thoughts and chances. What do you think here about we did a double trade down?
Yeah, block,
didn't we? Yeah,
we talked about it in our trade down scenarios. So Eagles are 22. Okay. So
so you would be taking, you would take 11 and 23, and then you'd be drafting 22 and 23, which would be kind of funny.
Yeah. And then, so Philly, the only thing is, I think Philly's a little shorter on capital this year. No, not that Howie cares. Oh, no, they have two second round picks.
Yeah.
It's the third round pick they don't have. Okay. So if they wanted to jump to, they would jump to 11.
22 to 11 is a big jump. So that's, I think the Eagles could certainly trade up, but that's big jump.
So that would be their second round pick, and then they don't have a third. They're not having a third is a bit of a bummer there. So you'd have to get a future pick or take 54 or 120. It's worth 54. Maybe like
that's probably one of their seconds this year and next year's second.
The thing with trading from 11 and then only trading out of 11 to go to 22 is that you're saying no on the defensive tackles, probably no on the corners, no on Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
And so you're trading back for like Jackson Powers Johnson and,
or like a Jordan Morgan type.
Yeah. Something like that. And that's just a little too far. I don't have to stick and pick at five, but I want to keep, you know, one of those first round grade guys.
Yeah, I think 15 would be like the absolute lowest I would like consider a double trade down from 11. Because at 15, you could at least get one of the blue chip corners, one of the higher end corners. You could get one of the defensive tackles, one of the edge rushers. I think if the Chargers get 11 and 23, that a trade down from 23 makes a lot of sense. Because then you can go from 23... maybe the Niners come up to 23 kind of deal and you can get some capital there, or Carolina at 33, the Commanders who have 36 and 40, like that trading down from 23, I'm fully on board with, because I think you can get a much better return there. And then at 11, you still get either your offensive tackle, defensive tackle, maybe. What would you think about Brian Thomas at 11? That seems kind of rich to me, but
The thing with Brian, okay, so obviously you're picking up 23, so technically it's not one for one. But if you were going to take a receiver at 11, you might as well just take them at 5.
Yeah.
Although, again, you get 23. So Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr. and, I don't know, let's say Graham Barton.
Graham Barton would be pretty sick, man. I don't think he makes it to 23, personally, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. If you do the Vikings trade, which is certainly possible, I think you're talking about staying at 11, and then at 23 you move back.
Yeah, and I'd be totally happy with that. I mean, if you go 11, you go corner, trade back, and get McConkey or Mitchell or whoever. Like, that's a pretty good haul too.
And that's basically the same exact thing that the Ravens did in 2021 when they took Cal Hamilton at 13, and then they had 21. From the Hollywood Brown trade, and then they traded back to get Tyler Linderbaum.
I still can't believe they got a first for Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, crazy. Had a super sticker from Gabriel. Great question, Haroon, by the way. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Gabriel had a super sticker. Appreciate him. And then last one here from Alex. If the Chargers play mostly 12 or 21 personnel this year, it should be Odunze over Nabers for the run blocking. What are your thoughts there, Tyler?
I don't recall Nabers having any like significant issues as a blocker, but Odunze will flat out just bury guys in the dirt. Like him and Josh Palmer, by the way, blocks his ass off too. He learned from Keenan Allen for sure. So that is a blocking unit with Disley. Like you're then Gus Edwards at 260. Like you're not 260, excuse me, 220. Pardon me. Got my Tavondre Sweat, Gus Edwards 60 and 20 mixed
all
up.
All good. It's all good.
That would it fits what they'd want to do. And I didn't even mention the blocking part. But yes, Odunze as a blocker, got the body type, got the film on it for sure. Very selfless team in Washington, very sound. He blocked plenty for McMillan, for Johnson, etc. So yeah. I saw this earlier from Thomas Martinez about Brett Coleman saying you can shove Nabers into an effing locker room and press.
That's mean. Did he say that in an episode? Because I didn't see him tweet that.
He must have. I'm guessing
Nabers isn't great against press, but that's a stretch.
I mean, LSU definitely leaned, like, he's not Jamar Chase off the line.
No.
But LSU definitely is more of a, like, Ohio State, I think, has better footwork and technique. LSU tends to, like, lean and get open off the line. But like, maybe don't put Nabers in front of the big press corner every rep. Like just, like Quentin.
Yeah. No, Palmer is the one that you're putting at X in this instance, which I can do that. But he can get off the line, and I do think that is something you can work on. And he's 6 feet tall. It's not like he's like 5'9". So it's not like Xavier Worthy, who really could put in a locker, but
yeah.
I think he could improve on that, but he's going to be a slot receiver. He's very rarely going to get pressed in the league anyway.
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, there's maybe a stigma around saying, oh, he's a slot receiver or whatever, but like, I don't think you do what you got to do with him to free him up. I don't think like Waddle or Hill or these guys, like, I don't think anyone's like, oh, they're not an X.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine against press. I really do.
Yeah.
But Odunze is definitely better at getting
that. I can get right now. That Worthy you can maybe put in the locker. Yeah.
All right. Hour and a half in on a Monday night. So appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going to be live all weekend long during the draft, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll be live again tomorrow for a pure question and answer show. So hopefully you guys come in and bring the great questions tomorrow as you have done tonight. So if you're listening to this or watching this on replay, let us know what you think of the draft picks. Of course, we get one last super chat here from Jose. Excited to see what my Los Baltimore Wolverines decide to do with the 5th pick. Yeah. Certainly becoming that way. You know, maybe they draft 3 Michigan guys and then that really confirms the transformation there. But appreciate you guys for tuning in. Appreciate the super chats. We'll see you tomorrow at this same time. And this has been another episode of the Guilty as Charged podcast. As always, bolt up.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.